The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. We're going to continue on this theme of the inner critic. And been working on, we've talked about a number of things about the inner critic. And one thing that I haven't talked about explicitly is, in fact, I guess there's research. I haven't seen the research. I just know about this secondhand. But that there's a link that when we have this inner critic, we're also assuming that there's an outer critic, that we are sometimes like concerned what other people are going to think. It's not always the case, but they often goes together, that we're like, we feel like other people are putting us down. And so there might be a way in which we can practice with this. And that is first to just notice that we are having two streams of thoughts happening. One is this inner critic that's maybe belittling us or making us feel with shame or making us feel like we're not good enough or inadequate in some kind of way. And this inner critic may feel like a familiar voice because we've had it for quite some time. But then there's also this other theme or this other stream that's happening of this concern of what other people are thinking and with this, the assumptions that we're making about other people. And this concern, like, well, now people are going to think X, Y, Z about me. I remember this one time, Gil Fronstahl, he gave this little analogy during one of his talks. This was a long time ago. And it's always stayed with me, partly because it's so silly. But he said, imagine that I'm walking down the street and then I trip just on something on the sidewalk or something like this. And then there's this great concern, like, oh my gosh, did anybody see that? I hope nobody saw me trip. And because I want to be like the best walker in the neighborhood. I want to be seen as somebody who, you know, just walks without tripping. And this idea of, you know, we want to be seen a certain way. And then this concern that, oh, when we do something that's not quite right, that other people are going to have all this barrage of negative thoughts about us, not let alone, right, what we think about ourselves. So there's something, well, maybe I'll say this, that then what happens is if we have this inner critic that's telling us, like, oh, you're not a very good walker, and then we have this assumed, imagined outer critic, oh, you're a terrible walker, then there's no place for safety. There's no place for respite. Of course there's stress if we have this inner critic and this outer critic. And so there's a way in which we might feel threatened and might, you know, exceedingly uncomfortable, of course. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, one thing we can do is, as best we can, is there a way in which we can, like, maybe take a step back and, like, notice what's happening? This isn't easy, and this is part of the practice, is so that we can just learn to, you know, like, step back, like, to interrupt the momentum of what's happening. And can we recognize, oh, there are two streams. There's this inner critic that feels familiar, and this imaginary outer critic or assumed outer critic. So that alone, just to like tease those apart, can be really helpful, because in order to tease them apart, we're not completely lost in them, right? We're looking at them and we're experiencing them. We're not lost in them, but we're more observing them, maybe I should say, evaluating them or investigating them or something like this. And then we can remind ourselves that we don't actually know what other people are thinking. We don't know. And even if we were, if there's somebody who's like laughing, said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you tripped on the sidewalk there. Don't you know how to walk? What's wrong with you? Gosh, that was just awful, right? Just even saying that out loud makes me feel bad. But even if maybe we do hear some negative comments from others, that doesn't mean that everybody would have that same comment. Like maybe there was a group of people that saw you trip, and maybe there was one person that maybe had a funny look on their face or made a comment, but not everybody did. And this is just part of human nature, is how we kind of like focus in on that which is the most negative or something, really grab onto that, as opposed to being able to keep the broader view about what's happening. Instead of being kind of like seduced of the criticism just because it feels so familiar, because that's what our inner critic is doing. So this whole idea of, can we notice that there are two streams of thought, this inner critic and this imaginary outer critic? I mean, I'm using this word imaginary. I mean, this inner critic actually is imaginary too, in the sense that it's only in our mind, but maybe you know what I mean. The inner critic feels more familiar and is maybe part of the inner landscape. So this idea to recognize that there is more than one stream of thought or more than one concern happening, that alone can be really beneficial. But it's not so easy to do this, right? To step back. And this is really where this loving kindness practice or mindfulness practice or some of this practice that we're doing with the inner critic can really help. Because if the mind and the heart already have a familiarity with some kindness, some spaciousness, then it's easier for that to arise when we need it. So I feel like I'm saying, like, oh, just notice there's two streams of thoughts. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to notice that. And so this is where meditation practice won't help us necessarily to notice, but will to help us disentangle ourselves so that we can notice. Will help us to maybe step out of this barrage of all this critical voices that we're hearing. So with that, I'd like to continue with the way that we've been practicing with the inner critics. We'll do a little bit of mindfulness to kind of help us get settled. Then we'll do some loving kindness practice where it's easy, easy, easy. You know, sometimes I talk about loving kindness practice and I understand exactly why people want to do loving kindness in all the problem spots of their life, because they want to use it as a tool to fix it, fix the problem spots. Of course people want to do that. But what I'd like to encourage us to do is that this type of loving kindness practice is really to nourish us, really to support us, to fill us up with a sense of warmth or goodness in some kind of way. Because, right, just imagine if in this silly scenario of like tripping on the sidewalk, and then if you were filled up with the sense of well-being and the sense of inner nourishment, maybe like spiritual nourishment, if I can use language like that, then just imagine how your reaction would be to these types of scenes. It'd be very different. Or just imagine how your capacity to be a little bit more objective and to see, like, oh yeah, okay, this is just the inner critic. I don't have to believe it. Yeah, that's just the assumed outer critic. I don't have to believe that. I think all of us know this, that if we, I keep on going like this with my hands, if we are filled up, nourished, I don't know what language to use exactly, but if we don't feel a lack of care. So loving kindness here is really an opportunity to get filled up with loving kindness or warmth or care or spaciousness that then allows us to work with the inner critic from that place. Okay, so let's do a little bit of mindfulness practice to start, to begin. So maybe a few long, slow, deep breaths just to check in and connect with the breath and the body. And sometimes longer breaths can really be a support for relaxation. Letting the breath return to normal. Just doing a general scan of the body. Are there some areas that have some tightness, some tension? Maybe we can wiggle or stretch or a little bit the body to feel, allow it to feel a little more settled. Feeling the pressure of the butt against the chair or cushion. Resting the awareness on the sensations of breathing. What does it feel like to have an in-breath? What are the sensations? What does it feel like to have an out breath? And when the mind wanders, just gently, simply begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind an easy, easy, lovable being, the absolute easiest. Maybe kittens, puppies, babies, somebody who has really touched your life. You have a sense of warmth and care, respect, love. Connecting with this lovable being. maybe having a vision or an image in the mind of this lovable being. And there's a support for the connection and a support for the cultivation. We can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Staying with the lovable being and connecting and allowing yourself to feel the warmth and care that you have for this lovable being. And it's perfectly fine if it's not there. But if it is there, allow yourself to be nourished and supported by it. And to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And to practice with the inner critic, bring to mind a mild difficulty that you're having. It's often when we have difficulties that the inner critic gets activated. And difficulties on a scale of 1 to 10, choose a difficulty that's like a 2 or a 3 on the scale. And I'll offer a few phrases. No need to do all of them. Maybe just one of them resonates. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. At the beginning of today's class, I talked about you can separate the inner critic from the imaginary outer critic. So we might speak directly to the inner critic and say, I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. We can remind ourselves, I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Speaking to the inner critic and saying, I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea, as I said at the beginning, that often when the inner critic is up and running, then there's also this imaginary outer critic. And it can be really helpful to kind of like tease those apart, maybe investigate, oh, this is what's interior, this is what's exterior. And just that activity of investigating can interrupt the momentum and maybe shift our relationship. And then maybe some of these phrases that we've practiced can come to use. Maybe you can apply them regards to the inner critic, and or remind yourself that we don't know what other people are thinking. And even if there were one or two or however many people that said something or criticized you, that there are also other people who aren't criticizing. But we tend to, you know, just focus on the critical ones. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where I have an opportunity to talk about this, and this idea of that when there's the outer critic, very often there's the inner critic. I'm sorry, when there's the inner critic, often there's the outer critic. Well, maybe it goes the other way too. I don't know. It could be something to explore. So you'll be in groups of three or four, at least that's the plan. But I know often that people at the last minute leave, and so then I'm scrambling to kind of like even out their rooms. So just as I said that, some people left. Okay, here we go. Okay, so it can be helpful if when you're in these breakout rooms, just the one, make one point, and then say another point. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit scattered. Just say a single point, and then it goes to the next person, and they say a single point. And then it goes to the next person, and they say a single point. As opposed to saying a big, long narrative about everything that you know about this topic, but instead creating the conditions in which people can kind of bring some of their warm-heartedness to the group by listening to one another, and also like contributing to make something, maybe creating something together. And you might have some new ideas that you haven't had before if you were just to tell a long narrative. So if it's helpful, you can go in the order of, why don't we go in alphabetical order? And let's see. And meet for about 12 minutes. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Anybody like to share how that was, or maybe you have a question or some comments? Misha Lu, yes.
Often my critic has a good point to make, that it would have been better had I done this differently, whatever it is. So I want to be able to acknowledge that good point of view, but I don't need to be shamed. I don't need to have this go on for 24 hours.
Beautiful.
So I don't know if you could respond to that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Sometimes, I mean, we do make mistakes. That's just part of what it is to be human, but we don't have to continually beat ourselves up for it. Part of this practice is, okay, can we learn from our mistakes and then move forward without, you know, beating ourselves up or shaming, as you said, exactly as you said, Michelou. Yeah. I mean, if we're not denying that we make mistakes, and sometimes the inner critic recognizes, yeah, we should have done things differently. Is there more that you would like to say, or?
No, that's very helpful. I just need to, well, you say holding it with kindness and ease. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? Nope. Jean, yes.
I just wonder if it's possible just to have an outer critic and not an inner critic, or have an inner critic that just is sort of projecting on the outer, or does it have to start with an inner critic? Or,
you know what? I don't know the answer to that. There might be some psychologists somewhere that know that.
Yeah, sure. But,
I think it's just helpful to notice that often they're blended, but this is a legitimate question. Does it start with an outer, start with an inner, something like this? Maybe something to explore.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Diana.
I was thinking that same thing and working with that, because when you talked about the imaginary outer critic, I was going, wait, what about the real outer critic? And whether it was a parent all those years, or bosses at work, or potentially an ex-husband, or being yelled at, or nothing's right, and often I think you don't get a chance. I'm wondering if my outer critic, I'm just talking about my inner critic, possibly was there, but it certainly got a boost from the outer. So I'm not sure I could separate it out. That's why it was very helpful tonight. These phrases are just absolutely a goldmine for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Diana. I'm happy to hear this. Yeah, right. Sometimes, you know, I'm talking for a few minutes and I'm presenting something in a neat and tidy kind of way. But I think you guys are pointing out, wait a minute, it's not necessarily so neat and tidy, and these things are all mixed up. But I think what I'd like to point to is that just the investigation about inner and outer, that alone can help take away some of the authority. Like, wait a minute. And if yes, and of course there are outer critics. And maybe part of the practice is to recognize that not every single person would criticize us for whatever it was that we were doing wrong, right? So, but we tend to like hold on to those things in which we do get criticized.
But just a thought, I've been wondering if I even need to know the difference. There's just a critic. And with these phrases, it seems to address whatever is happening. I don't need, if I start to try to go into all of it, I'd go bonkers, you know. I mean, I don't know. You know, it goes back into early karma, and it's just the phrases lifted up and are straightforward with it.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. I'm happy to hear this. Thank you, Diana. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you'd like, we can unmute and all of us can say goodbye together. So bye-bye, and thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.